Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I wanted to continue kind of what I was covering last month with y'all and continue in that, because some of these verses that we looked at out of chapter 4, it's pretty weighty stuff, and is actually a real good reminder. And I didn't really build on much on the latter half of these four verses last time. I ran out of time, so hopefully we'll be able to get through it tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father God, we exalt your glorious name, the name above all other names. Lord, we, as your chosen race and as your priesthood, we know you have given us the commandment to go, therefore, seek the lost, save souls. And as is the family business, we come here to sit at your table, elevated to the heavenly places with you, Lord, to partake of the cup and the loaf, and to be reminded of all that's been done on our behalf so that we can be your ministers here and your ambassadors. And so it's my hope that in these verses tonight that we would be further reminded of our duty and the command, and that we would hasten the day of your return, that we could hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." So we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So in the first part of this last month, we did a pretty good job in covering the servant part of this. Be servants of Christ. We talked about as servants of Christ, the biggest thing that as Christians following Christ is that who are we working for? Who do we serve? And I think that's important for us to keep in mind in our day-to-day, because it can get muddied a little bit. And I know for myself, I have to have an attitude check sometimes, because, I mean, who am I serving? Who do I serve? Okay, we serve God. As followers of Christ, we are servants of Christ. And it's fitting, because Christ came here to serve, right? And so that's what we do. We're servants. And so a lot of people, what we talked about is that they'll get their identity from what they do, right? The type of work that they do. Or they'll get their purpose from that as well. Like their worth, their self-worth is based on their title. And that's just so wrong. And that tells you a lot about living in the world, right? In Christ, our identity comes from Christ. And so Paul's reminding us who we work for. As followers of Christ, we serve Christ. And as citizens of heaven, we have responsibilities, right? We're citizens of heaven, but we have worldly responsibilities as well. And we talked about that, and we'll have a little bit of overlap in that tonight. So God has given us talents, okay? In the context, that's gifts and abilities, right? But what we're going to look at is that there's also a parable that talks about talents. It's a different talent. So, but our work does not define us. Christ does. And so Paul is reminding us of that in this. And then what we looked at in Ephesians chapter 6, I'll just read it real quick. Slaves, in verse 5, be obedient to those who are masters over you according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, it says, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. See, there's our servitude. Doing the will of God, right, from the heart. It should mean something to us, right? And so with good will render service as to the Lord and not as to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And so, again, we serve the Lord. We work for the Lord. And so in that, our performance should reflect that, right? We talked about it. We should be the best workers in whatever job or role that we're in. And no matter if we have a good boss or a bad boss, we talked about that as well. Okay, it shouldn't matter. We serve the Lord. And so really the teaching and preaching of God's truth is our, in my opening prayer, that's our command, right? We are to take this message to the world. And what we talked about is that Jesus doesn't want hirelings to do that. He doesn't want what out there in religiosity is a lot of guys that they're hired to preach and teach this word. And because of that, they'll blow with any breeze that blows. They're going to go with whatever that breeze is blowing. They have to answer to a board of overseers that pay them. Okay, that, and we looked at the parable that Jesus taught from that as well. He doesn't want that in the Lord's church. He wants people that are preaching and teaching his word and his truth, helping souls make it to heaven. Okay, it's not about the pocketbook. It's about saving souls, the family business. So that's a quick recap. So we are servants of Christ. Now, tonight I want to focus more on the stewardship. Okay, it says that we're stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, the Greek word for steward is oikonomos. I always have troubles with those. Oikonomos. It means, the first part of that, from my understanding, is it means that it's an under oarsman or a subordinate, right? So he's not the owner of the ship, but he's powering the ship. Okay, I wasn't real familiar with that part of it, but more familiarity comes from a manager. Okay, I think most of us are pretty well familiar with that. It's the managers of households or of some type of ownership, okay? A good example that we can glean from the Old Testament is Joseph. Remember Joseph? His brothers didn't like him much, so they sold him down the road. They threw him in the pit and then sold him, and he ended up in Egypt, right? Working for Potiphar, sold to Potiphar. And the Lord's hand was with him and prospered everything that he touched, right? And so Potiphar recognizes this. He recognizes his good work ethic and good attitude, right? And he saw that the Lord was with him. He made him the steward or manager of his entire household, everything that he owned. That means he had control of the bank accounts, the credit cards, everything that he owned, Joseph controlled, okay? And so in way of an example for us, that's what God has asked us to be, is stewards or managers of his household, managers of his everything that he brings. And so as a steward, as a manager, we don't own anything. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. We are managers of the things that God has given to us. In fact, further, what we're going to look at down the road in this chapter is that Paul says, what do you have that you haven't been given? Okay? Everything we have is God's. Everything that we have is a direct or an indirect blessing from God. And so we are stewards, managers of that. Okay? And so as a steward, as a manager, we are representatives and we have the responsibility to take care of those things. And so we're going to look at that as well. Joseph was a manager of the household. It was not his house. Okay? It wasn't his credit cards. It wasn't his anything. He was the manager of that. But he was entrusted to take care of those things. Okay? So how about our jobs? How does that translate in our situation? How does that translate to money? We talk about this financial stewardship all the time, right? How does that translate to our situation? Sometimes, and it's well brought up in our stewardships, it's hard sometimes to be good stewards of money, especially in today when the inflation's out of control, right? It seems like our money doesn't go as far as it used to. It definitely does not. And so, you know, we're called to be good stewards of that. We're called to plan. We're called to budget. We're called to control the situation, right? And sometimes it gets backwards. We're called to control our money and use it for our benefit. But sometimes money controls us. And that's a situation that we don't want to get into. Sometimes it will affect our attitudes. Like, our money doesn't go quite so far as it used to. So, you know, I work hard for my money, right? I've earned this money. I deserve this, right? You get that attitude sometimes, brethren, it can lead to trouble, right? I've worked hard for this, and I deserve this. Okay, we got to be careful with that. We got to also remember, whose money is it? Well, we just brought it out. What do we have that was not given to us? And so it's God's money, and we are stewards of it. And as in reverence, what we bring out in the stewardship is that we give a portion back to Him, in reverence. Okay, that's what's brought out in the scriptures. It's scriptural. So it's the Lord's money anyway. We are stewards of it, and so God has placed us in this position in the job that we're in. I don't know about any of you. I won't speak for any of you, but I know I'm in the position that I am, and it's my career job that I've worked hard for over the years to get into this position. I know I have it because of the Lord. The things that came about over the last couple of years and just the circumstances, I know it's because of Him. I know it. And it's... So I have a responsibility there to be the best employee that I can be, regardless of my boss, regardless of the work. I have the responsibility to be a good steward of that. Okay, I work for God. We work for the Lord. It's the Lord's money anyway. Okay, and He calls us to be good managers in all aspects of our lives. Okay, we should take great responsibility in that. And so, you know, it's our responsibility. It's scriptural to provide for ourselves, to provide for our families, and in that also to provide for the household of God. It's scriptural. We looked at 1 Timothy 5 and 8 last time, but it says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so the responsibility is large, okay? There is great responsibility in that, and it's God's money anyway. So we have to be good stewards of that. How about parenting? We kind of hit on this a little bit last month. Parenting is a for those of us that are parents, is a huge responsibility is a stewardship from God. Okay, when I talk to my kid and the way I raise my kid, what did I just say? My kid. That's the Lord's kid, right? Children are a blessing from the Lord. And so it's my responsibility to be a good steward with that. Okay? Sometimes it might not feel like it, but children are a blessing. When they're got their room tore up and they're just not cooperating, it's got to remind myself, it's a blessing from the Lord, right? I need to still be a good steward of that. Okay? He made us stewards of them. And, you know, that's a huge responsibility for those of us that are parents. We're bringing up the next generation of warriors for Christ, right? It's a huge responsibility. And, you know, sometimes you walk around out in public and you wonder, what in the world are these people doing? These kids are horrible. What is going on? Like, ugh. You know, at some point, I think it's just selfishness, really. Not doing what it takes as a parent. And hey, you know, those of us that are parents, you know, it gets pretty tiresome at some points. But as stewards of God's blessings, we cannot be lazy or selfish in that. It's a great responsibility that He has given us. We are raising up the next generation of warriors for Christ. It's a huge responsibility. We can't get laziness. We can't be lazy and we can't be selfish in that. Okay, we don't get to give up as stewards of those blessings. Okay, huge responsibility that God has given us in that. As stewards, we have to give an account. Okay, remember, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Oh, well, but you know, your kid kind of It's kind of a problem, okay? No, we have to be good stewards, and we will give an account at some point as managers, as stewards of that blessing, okay? What about the Lord's body? We have, some of us have children in the Lord's body, right? It's our stewardship as well. This is really the context of these verses is the Lord's body. Are we good stewards of the Lord's body? What has the Lord given us? Okay, we're supposed to preach, teach, and exhort, right? We're supposed to continue to uphold truth, right? It says we brought it out last time, pillars in support of the truth. That's who we are, right? It's His message, though. We have to remember in preaching and teaching, in evangelism and shepherding, we are stewards of God's message in that. And we cannot shirk that duty. We cannot get lazy in that stewardship. We just cannot. That is our primary duty, is to preach and teach God's word. Right? Stewards of the mysteries of God, it says. Okay? It's His message. And we have the responsibilities as administrators to administer the message to the world. That's a huge responsibility. And I hope that we all take it very seriously. We have the obligation to deliver His message intact, okay, as He instructs, right? It's not up to us to decide how or what to deliver, right? We can't decide that Paul's being a jerk, right? So we're just going to put that over here, and we're not going to talk about that. No, we don't get to say that. You know, a lot of us, when we're going through God's Word, for the first time, you know, you read a certain scripture. I really wish I didn't read that. Man, now I got some work to do, right? Or you're working with the lost. Do they have things that are brought up that they don't like? Yeah. What do you mean my prayers haven't been heard this whole time? What are you talking, you know, get your coat and get out of here. Or just get out, right? That's not up to us. We, as God's stewards of His mysteries, have to deliver His message. Okay? It's not up to us. It's not up to us to say, oh, it's okay if you're he, she, he, whatever pronoun. Come on in. Join us. We don't get to say that. Whose church is it? It's Christ's church. It's not our church. It's not up to us, okay? It's not open to our interpretation. I think Scripture says something about that, okay? God spoke it to His apostles and prophets, and it was handed down to us so that we could water it down? No. So that we could deliver it intact, okay? Words mean specific things. We talked about it in the class of worship. On worship and service, right? God used very specific words in that, and with very specific meanings and reason behind it. Okay? We have to hold to that stewardship. That's the purpose that He has given us, and that's the responsibility that we have. He meant every word in this book. Okay? Stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay? We don't get to edit it. We don't get to change it because, you know, I don't like what that says. We don't get to turn a blind eye to it, and we don't get to omit anything from it. And what Paul's going to cover in the later parts of this chapter, we don't get to add to it. Okay? We don't get to change it in any form or fashion. Okay? Okay, so in verse 2 then, let's see. Yeah, in verse 2, in this case, moreover, it's required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. That's pretty important, right? Are you trustworthy? Like, you know, how damaging, we've talked about it before, how damaging is it to the church when a person professes Christ and lives a devilish life? That's the most damage you can do to the Lord's church, okay? That's the most damage you can do. We have to be found trustworthy. We have to be living our words, right? Turn to Luke chapter 16. We have to remember this when we are dealing with people out there in the world, that we, and you know, Because if we're a Christian, eyes are on us, right? People are watching us. They're watching and observing our behavior. Oh, you're a Christian. Not living like it. And in Luke 16, in the first two verses here, I know in context he's working on something else here, but I wanted to cover this. In verse 1 of Luke 16, now he was also saying to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a steward. And this steward was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Oof, not good words to hear, right? Okay, couple points from this. First, we're going to give an account to the Lord. And we'll pick that up a little bit more later. But it says that he was squandering his possessions, right? Yeah, not what you want to hear from your boss. Two possibilities, I think, here. One is just mismanagement. All right, just kind of got careless. Didn't keep the books real well. Inventory was off, whatever. The employees were robbing the till, whatever. You know, it was just careless management. Okay? I don't know what happened there, but what are you going to do? Right, just mismanagement. And some of us, brethren, I've been in this boat. Some of us, this is how our finances are. Okay, it's real difficult to tithe because all our money's gone. Okay, I don't know what happened to it. Right, it's just poor management. I kind of get that in this verse too, that he was squandering his possessions. It sounds like he was just not managing things real well. Okay, there's that. And then the other side of the other possibility is just that pure embezzlement, right? The guy was taken from the loot. He was writing himself checks every now and then, okay? That's a possibility. And, you know, that's not really uncommon, sadly, in our day and age. There's all these embezzling going on. Like, you're just going to write yourself a check on the side every 2 weeks and just... How are they going to get away? How would people think they're going to get away with that? But you hear about this all the time. Like, they're just embezzling all this money. Okay? A couple of things I want to think of and consider for us. You think about, you're that person. Okay? You're writing yourself a check every 2 weeks. You're facing your boss, your coworkers, everyone, you know, on a day-to-day basis. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, I just stole from all these people. I wonder how long I can continue this. I'm going to keep trying. But what does that do to your conscience? Over time, it seriously damages things, right? It will, even after a certain amount of time, will affect how you interact with people. Like, oh, does this guy know? I wonder if she knows. Or how long can I get away with this? And you start doing fidgeting, things like that, you know, or watching how you're acting around people. I wonder, did I say something wrong there? And you got to start watching what you say, right? What did I say back on? You know, it's a big deal. How does that work then spiritually for us, brethren? If we're called to uphold God's truth, if we're called to deliver His message, if we're called to represent Him in this world, and we're not doing it. We're claiming to be Christians, right? We're people of the book, right? And in the back of my mind, I haven't read my scriptures for a couple weeks. Or I haven't prayed for about a year. I wonder if I talk to Mr. Super Dave, and he's probably going to notice that. I don't know. I'm not going to talk to Super Dave about anything serious anymore, because I don't want him to know really the life that I'm leading. You know, can you see what I mean? This is going to really have an effect on our conscience at some point. And not only that, but the other side of the coin, we've been trying to work with Zoe on some positive things. If you do this, you'll get to do this, right? Doesn't it just feel so great when you're doing the Lord's work and doing what we're called to do? The peace that we have in that, isn't that great? Like, just doing what you're asked to do. And so in our stewardship, we need to pay close attention to that. What's going on, and are our consciences working overtime? Okay? That, when we have that, when we're experiencing that, brethren, we are not doing what we're supposed to be doing. It takes the emphasis off what we're actually supposed to be doing. Okay? And so, we're not talking about hundreds of dollars in embezzling, brethren. We're talking about an eternal soul. Okay? So, the great responsibility with that. And we will give an account. Final point, verses 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians 4. Go back. Should have had you hold your finger there. In verses 3 and 4, but to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court, in fact. I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Okay? Paul understood that the congregation in Corinth was not the standard. He understood that he himself was not the standard. He understood that the Lord is the standard. Okay? And that anytime we get to a point where we're comparing ourselves to ourselves, we're without understanding. Okay? We're without understanding. The one who examines is the Lord. Okay? And that there's a day coming when the hearts and the motives of men will be revealed. Okay? And so we need to examine ourselves, and we ought to be careful about examining others. Okay? If we get into a position where we're trying to examine and judge the intentions of others, we're in trouble. In fact, scriptures say you probably shouldn't do that, right? Luke likes to talk about a guy that he knew a long time ago. He said his self-appointed job was to point out how everyone else was messing up, right? To point out everything else that everyone else was doing wrong. How do you get that job? Like, wow, that's a pretty easy job, right? Point out what everyone else is doing wrong. It's not pretty easy peasy, right? Actually, Scripture said this, you probably shouldn't do that. Okay, that's for the Lord to judge the brethren. We do not judge the brethren. Only the Lord can judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Okay, and those will be revealed. In closing, Matthew 25. It's kind of a long piece of scripture. I won't say much in way of commentating, but remember this, brethren. We all have gifts, right? It's been mentioned before last month, I think, by Mr. Toole. We all have gifts. God has given us those gifts for His purpose. Okay? He's given us those gifts for His purpose. And we need to think about this when we're reading through this. Think about it and examine yourself. Think about how this pertains to you and your gifts. Okay, how are you using your gifts? How can I bring more of a return for the Lord in the gifts that He's given me? Right? Because we're servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Right? Okay, so in Matthew 25 and verse 14, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. Okay, this is the Lord, by the way, right? He's going on a journey. He's gone on a journey. He's up in heaven, right? And he's going to come back, right? He's going to come back, and he's entrusted us with his possessions. Okay, in verse 15, to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. I don't know if you have one, two, or five talents, brethren, but, you know, figure that out yourself. I want you to notice, though, something. Nobody got zero talents. Everyone got at least one, right? In verse 16, immediately the one who had received five talents went out and he busted hump and he gained five more talents, right? In the same manner, the one who had received two talents gained two more. But the one who had received one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. We can't hide and hunker in the bunker, brethren. We need to take God's blessings to the world. Okay? It's not going to work. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted me with five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. His master said, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me to 2 talents. See, I have gained you more, 2 more talents. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Great words, right? The one who had also received 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See that you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brethren, we don't want to be that slave. We want to take the talents that God has given us and multiply them. The Lord has put us in charge of his possessions while he's on his journey. He will be back. He will ask for us to give an account. We want to rejoice at his return, right? We don't want to hide and shrink back. We want to rejoice. We want to be able to give that good account. See, what you've given me 5, Master, I've doubled that. And we want to hear, well done, good and faithful slave. Enter into the joy of your master. What beautiful words to hear. And so let's be good stewards, brethren, and let's be servants of Christ. Amen. Let's have a quick closing prayer. Lord and Father, God in heaven, we are grateful for you. We're grateful for the opportunities that you give us. We know that you have done so much, gone through so much effort to give us the power of your spirit within us. We have this power within us for a purpose. Help us to see that purpose and to live by that purpose and fulfill that purpose while we are here in the flesh, following the example of Jesus. And we're so thankful for all that he has done. We will continue to proclaim his sacrifice until he comes back for us on that faithful day when he says, Well done, good and faithful servant. It's in his name we pray. Amen.